for the weekend.
Tom had an acquaintance, Travis Brewer. Travis lived closer to the Brandon area of the county.
It seems like it is so close to being solved. The investigators seem to have an idea of what may have happened. I guess the woods can be pretty dense out there. It's near a national forest, and they were hoping that if he was out there, if he was injured, if he was alive, if he was not alive, the infrared technology would help detect him.
This was that this certain plot of land he supposedly went missing on or near was surrounded on all four sides with either roads or trails. So if someone did happen to get lost in this area, they would eventually stumble across one of these roads.
For his future. While in jail, Sky was forced to join a gang, the Simon City Royals, for his own protection. However, there is no proof Sky continued this affiliation upon becoming a free man at the age of 20.
To prove that Travis did something to Skylar or that something bad even happened to Skylar. Which brings us to the other theory, which is that there is no foul play involved because two things, right? One, Skylar could have just left. Maybe he decided, you know what, I'm sick of this. According to Travis, he loved the woods.
County, a five-year missing persons case is still under investigation. Authorities say a small group of people know what happened to Skylar Burnley, but no one's talking. 12 News investigates Anna Farish spoke with his mother, who says she never dreamed something like this would happen.
He's missing, so many others are missing, and everybody needs closure.
Reaching over, way over here to the left side of the screen, over to Bridges Road, that is right here. Do not pay.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to my podcast, Felon. I'm your host, Harley Norris. So today we're going to be revisiting the Skylar Burnley case. As most of you guys know, this case is still unsolved and Skylar is still missing, but I honestly feel like this case could have been solved and arrests should have already been made. Everybody that's interested in true crime has a case that just sticks with them. That one case that you just can't let go of, that's always in the back of your mind. And this case is that one for me. It just feels so personal to me. I've talked to some of Sky's family members and they are the most genuine, kind people who absolutely loved Skylar. And nothing's been the same in any of their lives since he went missing. But his family will not stop until they get the answers that they deserve and the closure that they need to be able to at least try to start healing from this absolute nightmare that they have been living in for the past 5 years. I've covered this case before, so I'm not really going to go too deep into everything. I'm just gonna give you guys the details that have been reported about the case. I'm just going to be giving you guys the details that have been reported about this case, and then we're going to talk about it. Because I have some questions that I feel like haven't been answered that need to be answered in order to get to the bottom of what happened to Skylar that day. I personally feel like whoever's responsible for this is just waiting for people to just forget about Skylar, for people to stop sharing his pictures on social media, and for people to stop telling his story. But that's not gonna happen. And I will stand right alongside his family in the fight to get justice for him. And we will find out who did this and what happened. It's just a matter of when. So with that said, this is the case of Joseph Skylar Burnley. This case takes us to Brandon, Mississippi in the county of Rankin. So, Skylar spent the night at the home of Travis Brewer and his common-law wife Amanda Morris on the night of June 2nd, 2016. And the next morning, they wake up and Travis notices that his 1988 Chevy pickup is missing from the driveway. So, he notices that his truck's missing and he says that he actually thinks he knows who stole the truck. So Travis also says that his cell phone was left inside the truck. So he decides that he's going to try to find the location of the phone, thinking that if he finds the phone, he'll find his truck. So Travis says that he called AT&T and they tell him that they have a phone tracking app, something similar to the Find My Phone app for like iPhones. They told him that he could download this app and it would help him locate it. So he gets off the phone with AT&T and he downloads this app and he uses that app to track his cell phone. Travis said that he tracked the pings and the phone was actually pinging somewhere in the woods, and he decides that he wants to go to the location where his phone's pinging to try to locate it and the truck. So Travis, Skylar, Amanda, and their 4-year-old daughter all decided that they're going to go together to this wooded area and find the phone and hopefully the truck as well. On their way to this area, they stopped at a gas station. This is caught on surveillance video. You can see that Travis, Skylar, and the little girl are in the store and they're like getting snacks, and Amanda, she stayed in the car. And the car that they're in is like a small black sedan. So in this video, Skylar is the one that's wearing a hat, a yellow shirt, and some blue shorts. And the timestamp on the gas station footage is 9:48 a.m. So after they get back into the car and they leave the gas station, they head directly to this wooded area where the cell phone was pinging. But they're actually caught again on camera. Now, we don't have this footage, but according to police, a homeowner in a rural area near the location where the phone was pinging caught them on their system. So, like, they caught the black sedan they were in driving by. So, according to police, based on the timestamps from the gas station and the video footage from the homeowners, Travis and Skylar did not make any other stops other than the gas station on the way to the wooded area. And the way the police were able to verify this was that they actually looked at the timestamps from the gas station footage and the homeowner surveillance footage, and they actually like recreated the drive to the wood area from the gas station. And based on the time, like, there wasn't any way that they could have stopped anywhere else on their way to the woods. Now, according to Travis, they arrived at the wooded area in which the phone was pinging at around 10 a.m. Now, what happens from here on out is all based on what Travis has told authorities, like what he claims happened that day. We don't have any other footage or any proof of any of this. We literally just have what Travis and Amanda said, and shockingly, their stories don't make any sense. So according to Travis, Travis said Skylar and him got out of the car, but Amanda and their daughter stayed in the car. And instead of like both of them following where the cell phone location was pinging on the phone, they separate and they go in different directions to look for the truck. This is weird to me, because why are you separating, literally going in different directions, when the phone was obviously pinging in one direction and y'all only had one cell phone to use to try to ping it? Doesn't make any sense. If the whole premise of you following where the phone is because you think it's going to lead you to the truck, it's kind of weird that you would separate. But according to Travis, this is what happened. He went one direction and Sky went in another. So according to Travis, he looked for the truck, he couldn't find it, and then he went back to the car where Amanda and his little girl were at. So he tells Amanda that he can't find Skylar. He said that he called out for Skylar, but Skylar didn't respond. But he didn't look for Skylar immediately because he had to take Amanda and his daughter home because they were hot, because there was no AC in the car that they drove there in. So he ended up going back home, dropping Amanda and the girl off at the house, and then getting back in the car and then going back to the woods to look for Skylar. And this time, he says that he does not find Skylar. But what does he find? He finds his truck. So the truck was actually located about a half a mile to a mile from this wooded area on the side of the highway. So he says he finds the truck, but he doesn't find Skylar. He also says that this happens at around 2 p.m. So, you know, 9:48 a.m., they're on the surveillance camera at the gas station. 10 a.m. is when they allegedly get to the woods, and that's the last time that Travis sees Skylar. You know, he looks for him again up until 2 p.m. He says, finds the truck, but he doesn't find Sky. And then he does not call 911 until 1 a.m. So from the last time he's seen Skylar, it was 15 hours before he actually called 911. And the 911 call in and of itself is completely strange.
What's your emergency?
Last night I had my truck out in the driveway, and one of my buddies took off in it, and he didn't come back. I downloaded an app so I could track my phone. To see if the truck was there. And then we could find the car. And then I called 1 side of the road, that was at 10 o'clock this morning. I walked off the other side of the road, and he's been gone ever since. Thank you, that's fine. I've been everywhere looking for him.
So the officer said that when he called 911, he actually spoke more about his truck. And then at the end of the phone call, he mentioned Skylar being missing as kind of like more of an afterthought. So after the call, Travis actually ended up going to Skylar's uncle's house, and he actually left a handwritten note on his uncle's door. Skylar's uncle wakes up the next morning and he finds the note on the door, and he panics and he immediately calls Glenn, who is Sky's father. So he calls Glenn and he reads him the note, and this is what the note says. It says, quote, this is Travis, Sky's friend. He is missing. I'm worried something bad has happened, end quote. And the note also had two numbers, like two phone numbers written on it. So Glenn, Sky's father, said the first thing that he does is call Skylar's mom. Now they're divorced at this point, but he still calls her and he lets her know what's going on because, you know, they're divorced, but they're still amicable, you know, about the children. They talk about the kids' issues and stuff. So he calls her, and then he immediately calls one of the two numbers that were on the note. And when he does this, who picks up? Travis. So according to Glenn, Travis was nonchalant, and it was very unsettling to talk to him. And this is just how Glenn described the phone call between him and Travis. So then at the end of the call, Travis tells him, quote, you know, why don't you come with me? We'll go back to the woods and we can look for Skylar again together, end quote. So Glenn said, quote, well, instead of me going down there with you and hollering in the woods, I need to get on the phone and call the authorities. So I did. I reached out and called Rankin County Sheriff's Department, and they came to the house and stayed for several hours, end quote. So the cops went to Glenn's house and they was asking around about who Skylar was and about like how he was, about his patterns and would he just run off, like asking those kind of questions. And once they found out more information about Skylar and his living situation, they were sure that something bad had to have happened to Skylar, because you see, Skylar was living with his 92-year-old grandmother at this time, and he was actually her live-in caretaker, and he was very diligent about taking care of her. He loved her so much. That was like his favorite person in the whole world. He always let her know when he'd leave, and when he would leave, he'd always let her know when he was going to be back. And he had told her on the afternoon of the 2nd that he was going to go hang out with a couple of friends and he would be back later on that night. But then later on that night, he decided to just stay at Travis and Amanda's, so he actually called his grandmother, told her he was staying the night there, and he'd be home the next day. However, he did not end up showing up. So the fact that he kind of left and didn't communicate with anybody was definitely not a good sign. On top of that, everyone says that Skylar was a really good guy. He was always, you know, like, yes sir, no sir, please and thank you. Always smiling and opening doors for strangers. He was always trying to help. He was actually supposed to help his mom move to a different house on the Saturday after he went missing, and of course he was a no-show for that as well. Now, police stated that they were unable to use cell phone information or anything like that from Skylar's phone, because when Sky got out of the car to search for Travis's truck, he left his phone, his wallet, and some other personal belongings inside that black sedan that they drove to the wooded area in. So there was really no way of tracking it. Everyone that knew Skylar, they just did not and still don't feel like he's the kind of person that would just leave on purpose and abandon his grandmother and everyone else in his life and just not tell anyone. Not one single person where he was. So right away, based off of all this information that the police have about Skylar, the police treated it as a missing persons case. And they went to the woods and they started searching. In addition to searching, they decided to question Travis and Amanda because obviously they were the last people to see Skylar. And this is when they discovered inconsistencies in their stories. So investigators asked them if they'd both be willing to take a polygraph test, and they both agreed to this. So they hooked Travis and Amanda up to a lie detector test and began asking them questions. And one of the questions that was specifically asked to both of them was, "Do you know what happened to Skylar?" Amanda said no, and she passed her polygraph test. Travis said no to this question, and according to his test, there was some indication of deception with his answer, specifically at this one question. So now, like, what's going on? They're saying they don't know what happened to Skylar. Maybe Amanda doesn't, but Travis obviously does. The lie detector test shows some deception, especially with that one question, so Travis obviously knows more than he's letting people know. Furthermore, Travis had this kind of, like, elaborate, crazy-ass story that's really hard to believe, where they are, like, following the tracking device, but then decide to separate, and then he doesn't call 911 until like 15 hours later after Skylar's been missing. And then he talks about the truck. And then at the end he mentions, "Oh, by the way, my truck was missing. I found it though, but I haven't seen my friend for like 15 hours. So yeah, what's going on, Travis? That isn't the only lie that Travis told. Actually, Travis told a huge, huge lie that would poke a massive hole into this whole story, and that is regarding the cell phone. Remember how his truck was stolen and he believed he knew who stole it? Well, they found the guy, and his name is Matthew McCoy, and he told a very interesting story to investigators. He said that on the night of the 2nd, him, Travis, Skylar, and Amanda were all at Travis's house, and they were all smoking meth to the point where Matthew got really paranoid. Well, I guess that's what happens when you smoke meth, but anyway, he decided that he was going to leave Travis's house by stealing Travis's truck, which is a classic tweaker move. So he gets into the truck and he says that he looks down and he sees his cell phone in the truck. And you know, with the paranoia and stuff from the meth, he said that the paranoia told him to get rid of the phone because people can track him with this phone. So he takes the phone and he throws it out of the window. And the police officers that are like in the room while he's being questioned are like, "Wait a second, you threw the cell phone out of the car, but where did you throw it?" And he goes, like, "Right near, you know, Travis's front yard." But didn't Travis say that his cell phone is what led him to that wooded area and to the truck? And that they were using the location of the phone? That's how they got to the wooded area? So, now police do not know who to trust at all, because, you know, they could all be lying. We just don't know. So, authorities decide to go to Travis's house, and this is just a few days after Skylar went missing, and they go to Travis's house, and they searched near the front yard, and lo and behold, there is the cell phone that he claimed was in the truck in the woods. They grab the cell phone and they do forensics on it, and they find out that through GPS that the phone was never in the woods. It was actually right there in the front yard the whole entire time. So now Travis has been caught in a whole other lie. And his whole story about the GPS and the app and tracking that phone and all of that really makes no sense now. So authorities go and they confront Travis with this information, and Travis clams up, lawyers up, and doesn't want to talk to police anymore. They were able to obtain a search warrant on his place though. So police, they go and they issue this search warrant, and they find lots of evidence of, you know, meth paraphernalia, and so they end up arresting Travis and Amanda on drug charges. However, they weren't able to pin Skylar's disappearance to them or arrest them in connection to that case in any way. In addition to finding paraphernalia, police say they found evidence that they were all involved in the drug trade, not just users, but selling. So at this point, police are convinced that Travis has something to do with Skylar's disappearance, but they don't have any hard evidence to prove it. It's all circumstantial, and they really, unless they like find Skylar dead or alive, they really can't do anything or say anything happened to Skylar, because there's still a possibility that, you know, he's gone on his own free will. So the search continues, and they actually have a massive search. They have huge search crews come and canvass the wooded area near Bridges Road, looking for clues as to maybe like where could Skylar be. They had horses and four-wheelers and people on foot, and they did grid searches all the way around the woods. They were just looking for Skylar, but they couldn't find any sign of him. The undersheriff said, quote, "We spent more resources in that patch of woods than I've ever seen on any other missing person. And we did that because we had good information that he was, in fact, in that patch of woods at one time," end quote. And now, this is where the case takes another interesting turn. They find an interesting connection between Skylar and a gang known as the Simon City Royals.
Do you have a lot of Simon City Royals?
Yes, that's our predominant gang population, Simon City.
Wells locked up.
It just seems like, especially here in Mississippi, is due to drugs.
Think a lot of guys get recruited in jail?
Most definitely. They feel like they have to, for protection, join up in order to survive prison.
I love this organization, and I'll die for this.
Can they see us right now?
Yes.
They can?
Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out who you are.
So, it was no secret that Skylar had used drugs on and off in his life. He actually caught a possession charge, which resulted in some time behind bars for him. In order to understand this part, though, we got to go back to about 2007. So, Skylar's plan for his future had always been to graduate high school, go straight into the military, maybe even be an MP, a military police. But after that, he wanted to go to college and get a degree for teaching and coaching, because he actually wanted to be like a high school baseball coach. But all of his plans got completely destroyed when he was 18. At this point, Skylar had never been in trouble with the law, never had a speeding ticket or anything. But one night, he went to a fair. I think it was like in Neshoba County, but he went to a fair with some friends and ended up being apprehended by authorities. He had about 10 Xanax on him, I think, and he was arrested for possession. Even though it was his first offense, the judge made an example out of him. I guess because it was an election year and they were trying to show that they were hard on drug crimes. And the judge ended up sentencing him to 2 years in the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility, which is a whole issue in and of itself. This prison got shut down in 2016, though, and thank God for that, because that place was an absolute nightmare. Full of drugs, corruption, and gang violence. So, Skylar served 2 years at this facility, and while serving his time, he actually got blessed into the Simon City Royal Gang. But by all accounts, Skylar didn't really want to be in this gang. His family said that Skylar told them, as well as a guy that actually served time with Skylar, him and Skylar both told them that they didn't join the gang because they wanted to, really. They did it for protection. And looking up this prison and researching the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility, like what happened at that prison and why it was like shut down, I realized that, yeah, they definitely probably did have to join a gang for protection, not just from the other inmates, but from the correctional officers as well.
What happens? The warden will go and meet with the gang leaders. The gangs ran the place. And the irony was, the Mississippi Department of Corrections wouldn't even admit there were gangs. They called them security threat groups. They wouldn't even use the word gang. The other thing he told me about was these mothers that were being extorted by the inmates. They would call them up and say, if you want to recognize your son again, you better start paying us money.
For him to stay alive, he had to pay $50 a week, up to $350.
Probably paid out between $2,000 to $2,500.
Inmates who refused to join a gang were labeled peons and were targeted for beating, stabbing, seduction, extortion, abuse, and rape. And if you refuse to join a gang, don't you dare try to ask for help. Because sometimes, even the guards are in on it.
This is the way an officer put it to me. He said, the gangs run the prisons. We just happen to have the keys. Why in the world would a correctional officer join a gang or assist a gang? Well, the main reason is money.
In Mississippi in 2013, a corrections officer was paid just over $22,000 a year, enough to still qualify for food stamps for a family of three. They made less money than most janitors, cooks, or bellhops. In exchange for one of the most dangerous jobs in the state, and they barely received any training to do so.
Time spent for training was almost nil, I think a few weeks, essentially.
Gang leaders would look for weaknesses in the underpaid, undertrained officers and exploit them. Sometimes that involved taking advantage of addictions or gambling debts. Sometimes it was just as simple as paying the guards.
So by all accounts, Skylar joined this gang to survive. But with this new information about Skylar being affiliated with a gang, in addition to Skylar's father saying in an interview that he believed that Skylar was trying to get out of the gang, but that he wasn't going to just go away quietly, Skylar's dad said that he believed that Skylar was trying to get out of the gang, but also, quote, rat on the network, end quote. So basically, he believed that Skylar was going to snitch. So this is where a theory emerged. And this theory was that somebody from the Simon City Royal Gang did something to Skylar. And how does Travis play into it? Well, people think that Travis kind of was hired or forced or commanded, whatever, by the Royals to like lure Skye into the woods, and that, you know, these people were waiting for him like on another side of the woods. Like somebody found out that Skylar was going to snitch and they decided to silence him. And that is a really big theory in this case. But then they got some information that proposed another theory. And this was that, you know, remember Skylar had an issue with drugs, you know, on again and off again. And according to his girlfriend, it's alleged that he told her that he did a move that you're not supposed to do, which was he was in the middle of a drug deal where he was supposed to be purchasing drugs, and instead of purchasing the drugs, he actually took the drugs and he didn't pay for them. And the dealer was obviously pissed about this, and the drug dealer was supposed to retaliate, and that maybe it was this person who did something to Skylar. Now, whether this is like true or not, we don't know, but it's possible, I guess. We don't know if this drug dealer was affiliated with the Simon City Royals or not, but considering the fact that they probably all got their drugs from the same drug dealer, he might have been. And there's a chance that Travis knew this drug dealer. Some people say that if you dealt with meth in Mississippi, chances are they passed through royal hands. And I don't mean nobility. But from Skylar stealing from a drug dealer, if he really actually did do this, it could have gained him a lot of enemies. So with these couple of theories that I've explained to you, yeah, there's a chance that Skylar had a few enemies that would have tried to do harm to him. But the common denominator here, to me, is Travis. But even though he failed his polygraph test and they've caught him in numerous lies, they still don't have any hard evidence to prove that Travis did do something to Skylar, or that something bad even happened to Skylar. Which brings us to the other theory, which is that there is no foul play involved, that Skylar could have left on his own. According to Travis, he loved the woods. Who knows, maybe he just decided he didn't want any of his responsibilities anymore and he just wandered off. Maybe he was high, maybe he got injured, maybe he got lost. He could have succumbed to the elements, but this theory is definitely hard for me to believe. The undersheriff says that Travis Brewer is the key to solving this case, and Travis will remain, in his mind, a suspect until this case is solved. And regarding that whole accident theory, the police really don't believe it because they went on and on about how massive and thorough the search was, and how if Skylar was in those woods, they would have found him. On top of that, there were no signs of a struggle, no signs of his belongings, no signs of any of the clothing that he was wearing. But there is something else to consider. Remember how I told you earlier on that the truck was found near those woods on the road, and there was a road surrounding each side of the woods? Well, police think that's kind of relevant to the story. They think that, you know, two things could have happened. Either Sky got so badly hurt in those woods that he couldn't find his way out, because according to them, it should have been easy for him to find his way out, because, like I said, there were like several exits in those woods. Like, there was a road on pretty much each side of the woods. So regardless of which way he went or tried to come out, he would have been able to find a road, and then he could have, you know, maybe found someone and asked for help. But even if he had been so badly injured that he didn't make it out to one of those roads, the cops said they would have found him during that massive search. The other thing is that if there were someone waiting for Skylar, like in those woods, and they somehow managed to kidnap him and put him in this vehicle, it was kind of like the perfect situation, because they could have easily got off on one of these side roads and then just taken him somewhere. Which brings us back to the Simon City Royal theory. And I've done some research on the Simon City Royals. And now, this is all my conspiracy, allegedly. Don't kill me. Don't shoot me. But a lot of people have stuff to say about them. And they've even done interviews where they've talked about themselves. And there's a whole bunch of stuff about intra-gang violence that I'm going to get into in a minute. But this is one of my theories. At the end of this, like, episode, I'm going to give you my biggest theory of what could have potentially happened. But this could have potentially happened, I guess. But, okay, hold on. So the things that I found out about the Simon City Royals is mostly about violence. And probably most of the violence isn't with other people or other gang members, but rather what they call intra-gang violence, meaning within the gang. And usually this is reserved for snitches. So I found this one case about a gruesome killing that happened when members of the Simon City Royals believed that another member was actually snitching. So there was a guy, and his name was Wilfred Levi McCarty, but he goes by Porkchop. So Porkchop's got a life sentence plus 3 years, because you know that 3 years, I don't know what they were thinking, but he's got a life sentence plus 3 years, because he not only shot a gang member, his own gang member, but he also dismembered him as well. And the reason why he did this was because he thought that that gang member was a snitch. Now, interestingly enough, there were two gang members that were charged in this. It was Porkchop and this other guy named Stevens. Now, Stevens snitched, so, I mean, you know, that's the name of the game, I guess. And they were both accused of killing and dismembering this person. But Stevens flipped on Porkchop, and he told the whole story. And this is what Stevens said. He said that they were both not only just a member of the Simon City Royals, but also part of the Southern Brotherhood, which is like a Southern version of the Aryan Brotherhood, I think. I don't really know. He even said that him and Porkchop shot and killed this guy who ended up falling into this makeshift grave on Porkchop's property. And then Porkchop told Stevens that, you know, he needs to dig up the guy. So Porkchop dug him up, and then they weighted him down with a tarp and stuffed him under a culvert, which was overlooking a pond. Many people think that this is something that could have happened to Skylar. That Skylar is chopped up and buried somewhere near a body of water in some area. That he's not in or near the woods that he went missing in at all. That the woods was just the area that they kidnapped him in. Because that is another thing that they do. They kidnap. They kidnapped. Some royal gang members actually are behind bars and charged with kidnapping. This was a few years ago because they allegedly, or they did, kidnap some other gang members, some other royals. So, they arrested some people for kidnapping, and they said this is not a random act. These Simon City royal members were once friends, and they had took these people to a different location, and they were going to do something to them there, but they didn't end up doing it. They got caught. I don't really know the whole situation or circumstances surrounding that case, but so you could tell this is a pattern. This is something that the royals do. They do intra-gang violence, and like I said, it's really gruesome, and it's really violent, and it's reserved for members of the gang that snitch. It can be very organized and very planned, and most of the time when this stuff happens, they're not even called. Most of the time they get away with it. So given all this information, where we have Skylar's father saying that he wasn't only going to just leave quietly, but he was going to tell the sheriff what was going on, and then the fact that, you know, he may have stiffed a dealer. Either way, you've got people who probably likely are affiliated with the Simon City Royals that are not happy with Skylar. Then you've got Travis, and Travis could also be a linked affiliate to the Simon City Royals as well. Or at least maybe known of them. Maybe he was used as a pawn. Commanded, forced, coerced, we don't know. We don't know, but it's possible that they made Travis lure him into the woods, and that's why there's this weird story about the phone, and they did it all because they wanted to silence Skylar. And that is the number one theory that even the police believe, but again, they weren't able to prove it. Okay, so let's talk about my theory. So, as I said earlier, I did research on the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility and found out some crazy information. So Skylar did 2 years at this facility, and during that time, the FBI started an investigation into that facility, and initially, the reason the investigation started was to look into claims about the warden who'd allegedly driven a female prisoner to a nearby motel and sexually assaulted her. And there was ample evidence proving this, and later the warden would plead guilty to witness tampering and for telling the prisoner to lie about the abuse. But while investigating those claims, a federal prosecutor was actually notified about a possible cover-up and corruption that was going on inside the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility. So that's when the FBI started secretly asking questions, and they launched Operation Mississippi Hustle. And this investigation would reveal one of the largest and longest running criminal and civil conspiracies in Mississippi government history. So in this sprawling corruption scandal, Chris Epps, who was the commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Corrections for like over 20 years, signed more than $800 million in state prison contracts while receiving at least $1.4 million in bribes and kickbacks. Much of that money was funneled through a guy named McCrory, and he was like a former state lawmaker who arranged contracts both for his own companies, as in Walnut Grove, and for other corporations that hired him as a quote-unquote consultant. This conspiracy landed Chris Epps and McCrory in prison and led to the convictions of a former state senator, a doctor, an insurance broker, and prison consultants in two states, as well as the suicide of an indicted county supervisor. So at the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility, there were reports from the Department of Justice that said that the guards at the prison used excessive force as like a first response to inmates. They ignored sexual assaults both by staff and prisoners, and openly affiliated with gangs. A DOJ investigator said, quote, "The sexual misconduct we found was among the worst that we have seen in any facility anywhere in the nation," end quote. A judge wrote that the facility, which held children as young as 13 years of age, had become a, quote, "cesspool of unconstitutional and inhumane acts," end quote. And he also said, quote, "paints a picture of such horror as should be unrealized anywhere in the civilized world," end quote. So obviously this led to the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility being closed down in 2016. So considering everything that went on inside this facility, I believe, in my own personal opinion, that Skye's disappearance could have something to do with this investigation. The investigation into the facility. So remember how Skye's dad said something about how he believed Skye was trying to get out of this gang, but he also believed that he was not going to go like quietly, like he was going to rat on the network of the gang to police, like as an informant? Well, what if Skylar was an informant? But not, you know, ratting on the gang network, but the conditions of the prison. What if he was one of the inmates that was cooperating with the FBI to help put these powerful people behind bars and get this prison shut down? Skye went missing June 2nd, 2016, and 3 months later, the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility actually closed. The investigation was still ongoing while Skylar was still here, like before he had disappeared, and in my opinion, I believe Skye was probably an informant for the FBI. Even Skye's dad said someone with a lot of pull pulled this off. Travis couldn't have done it himself because he's a dumbass. So who else would have a lot of pull other than, you know, the people that ran this facility? Y'all have to go look up the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility and see how corrupt it was and see how many people ended up going to jail and how much abuse and all this other shit that was alleged that happened there. And it actually was proven to be true. I mean, they did crazy shit to these kids and young adults. It was so bad. And it's crazy because I know we'll never be able to prove it if this is what happened. But I also found out something extremely interesting to consider. So Travis Brewer, after some deep research, I found out that Travis Brewer has a family member who actually worked in the Walnut Grove Correctional Facility for years until the prison got shut down. Coincidence? Maybe. I don't know, you guys. I have a whole lot of stuff that I really actually do want to talk about this one specific theory, because it's crazy. There's just too many things that add up, but I want to know what you guys think. Do you think it's possible, or am I completely off base with this?